The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
Thanks for that, Susan. Well, tomorrow is World Diabetes Day. So in about 10 minutes, Dr. Sinead Byrne is going to be with me in studio on the couch to tell me all about the illness. And she's even going to suss out if I'm likely to suffer from it myself. She's going to assess the risk factor. But first, you'll remember Mary Mitchell O'Connor spoke to me on the show yesterday about our plans to increase the number of women in top posts at third level universities and institutes by creating women-only roles for some. Here's a reminder of what she said to me.
This is good, actually, because 51% of us in this population are women, and we want to see equality for women.
Even beyond a meritocracy.
But these women are highly professional women. They haven't been given a fair chance within the system. There's paltry representation of women within the situation. And you know what I can say to you, Ivan? Talent alone, I'm sorry to say, is not always a guarantee to success, you know, in trying to rise yourself to professorial level in the higher education institutions. So this is a game changer.
That was Higher Education Minister Mary Mitchell O'Connor, who was speaking on the government's decision to fund women-only academic posts in a drive towards gender equality. Well, now joining me on the line is Dr. Aminullah Desande, Senior Lecturer in Contemporary Islam at UCC, who doesn't think these measures go far enough. Aminullah, welcome to the programme. What's your central point?
I think my central point is that is not to distract from how monumental and historic this plan is, because I think it is a significant step forward in terms of making us more aware of the gender, especially on women issues that have been prevalent within universities for a very long time. So I'm not trying to distract from that. But what I'm also saying is that it may be time for us to look at more deeper and wider, to kind of expand the circle of diversity and inclusion, which means that we look at issues which are not competing against the women issue, but are that allow us to see this more broadly, which means that we look at issues to do with race, which means we look at issues to do with ethnicity, on people who need accessibility, who are disabled, and that I think is something that will strengthen our universities.
Are you in agreement in terms of your experience with UCC that women are discriminated against for senior posts?
It's difficult to kind of say that, and from what I'm hearing, I sit on a couple of committees to do with Athena Swan, which are promoting and helping us to become more aware of the issues surrounding women. I think there are a lot of issues that require our immediate attention, and I'm very confident, and actually I feel quite happy to see those discussions taking place. And I think that this plan that has been put forward by the government is brilliant. We really need this in this day and age, and it will really help us to make our campuses, our educational establishments. I mean, there's discussions about role models. Role models are so, you can never undervalue this. When a student walks into the doors of a university, someone who they can kind of see, a mirror image, or somebody, like a woman looking at another woman, students looking. The psychological effects of this are immense, and I think the exact same I feel when I meet, students who are of colour on campus. They smile at me, they see me, that wow, UCC has hired somebody who's not all the same. And I think that is our asset. This is something that we should be very, very proud of.
I'm happy to come on to the wider issues, but I'm asking you straight up, why do you think it is that women are underrepresented in the senior positions?
I think there's a lot of discussion now about unconscious bias. And I think we really all need to be more aware of that. There are things that psychologically sit in our head which create us, every individual, to have some sort of idea about the other. Now, I think that the issue that's being brought forward right now is the issue of women, and how maybe, you know, at some level there is an unconscious bias towards men and male privilege, but there's all sorts of other unconscious biases that exist as well.
Okay, so when you speak about that this does not go far enough, are you talking about the academic staff or are you talking about the student population?
Well, I think one thing that I feel quite strongly about is that our student bodies are more diverse than what we see among staff. And now there's lots of reasons for that because it's so complicated. I'm totally on board with the argument that Ireland has largely seen an outward migration rather than an inward one. But I think one of the reasons why I'm here, why I teach at UCC, is because of the awareness that we need to expand the circle of diversity. And it's happening. It's happening slowly. But this action plan, I think, will get the wheels turning much quicker.
So what inequalities do you think exist within the college campus?
Gosh, I mean, Ivan, that's a big question. There are so many. And what we need is more awareness. Look, the argument that people put forward is, surely we're all equal. You know, I have a lot of discussion about people saying, man, I don't see your race. I don't see you. I just see you as an academic. That's all fine and dandy in an ideal world. But we don't live in an ideal world, which means that we have to single out, we have to become more aware of the inequalities that exist. And I have to say that largely, we still have a lot of issues. We haven't been able to resolve the women issue. Now, and that, I think, is something that's been taken very seriously.
Are you saying that people of colour, people of minority religions, Muslims, that they are underrepresented?
I think so. I mean, you just need to do a survey of universities and people who are teaching there. But that's very complicated. And again, you know, I've become more aware of this unconscious bias, which I think is really interesting. People say to me, I'll give you one example. People say to me, Aman, do you appreciate that because your surname is, Desondi, that people maybe are confused about, are you Muslim? Where are you from? I mean, if my name was Muhammad, it immediately, there is something within the psyche of individuals that you create this notion that it creates. And I think that also happens for a lot of people. And I think that also happens for women because...
But there's another point, which is this, and it is that, you know, when we're talking about third level education, we're talking about fairly high caliber brain power, intellect, knowledge, ability to teach, ability to learn. Surely a meritocracy rather than quotas to do with gender, to do with race, to do with ethnicity is the best way to go, whereby the best people get the job irrespective of their background.
I mean, if we lived in an ideal world, that would be a wonderful formula, but we don't. And I think a lot of the research, a lot of the science tells us that we carry all sorts of biases, prejudices, and stereotypes about each other, which is the reality. And what is significant is that how do we break them down? How do we move in the direction that will make our universities diverse? And because our societies are moving forward, our students are demanding it. And I think that's really important to be aware of the biases that we all carry.
And is there any limit to this insofar as I take your point about where we may be now in the evolution of a cosmopolitan culture and inclusion and diversity? But, you know, are we going to reach a day in Ireland that if you're male, pale and stale, you have no future? Because you don't tick any box.
I don't think anybody is saying that, and I don't think anybody who's calling for this on the gender action plan are trying to make anybody say that, you know, if you're a middle-aged white man, there's no place for you. It's about expanding the circle. It's about bringing forward all the inequalities that exist, because the students are diverse, and that is something that I find educational. You know, I'm an educator. I started my career as a high school teacher, so I think there's also an educational ethos issue here as well.
So, in a nutshell, what are you calling on Mary Mitchell O'Connor to do to meet your agenda?
Well, I'm saying that this is a I'm not trying to distract from the monumental and historic action plan that's been put in place, but I think that we must be aware that the circle of diversity and inclusion can be expanded, and we're on a brilliant road to do that. And I think that the future is very hopeful and it's going to be very colourful.
But this was preceded by committees and task forces to deal with gender inequality. Are you calling for similar studies and forethought before action plans are brought to deal with ethnicity and race equality?
Happening, Ivan, because from what I'm gathering, you know, I look at a lot of the stuff that's happening through the Immigrant Council. Lots of different bodies in society are pushing for this, are raising the questions, and every question, every critical question that makes us, that will push us towards something constructive and something stronger, is, I think, something very good. So we're on a good road.
Dr. Amnulla Desunday, Senior Lecturer in Contemporary Islam at University College Cork, thank you for joining us on the programme.
Thank you.